Beis Hashem, we are now beginning a Parsha class, Parshas Sazria and Metzora. Both Parshas are going to be read together. And today is the second day of Rosh Chodesh. That's where tonight's already Paschia. Is Yom Beis v'Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Tavshin Ayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar of April 16th, 2018. Two parshas are going to be read together because this year we do not have a leap year, and therefore, in order for us to complete the Sefer Torah together with the Jewish people around the world during Simchas Torah, it's necessary to combine several parshas together. Another advantage is that when we have, for example, this particular year where Pesach came out for the Jewish people, the last days of Pesach was Friday and Shabbos. Shvi Shal Pesach was on Friday, and the last day for us here in Chutz La'aretz was on Shabbos. For the people in Eretz Yisrael, the last day of Pesach was only on Friday. They did not have Achron Shel Pesach, but they were forced to really conduct themselves as a person that would have Pesach on Shabbos because there was no time to change. But in the reality is that that parsha that they read last week was actually the Parshas Shemini, the parsha that they read in Eretz Yisrael, the last day of Pesach that we have, the last day of Pesach, was Parshas Shemini. We did not read Parshas Shemini in the last day of Pesach. We read all had to do with Pesach. So we are going to be able to catch up with those in Eretz Yisrael this week, because in Eretz Yisrael they're only going to read the Parshas Metzora, while we are going to be reading Parshas Tazria and Metzora to be able to be caught up. But in general, when there is no leap year, we always combine several Parshas together, and Tazria and Metzora is one of them. Tazria and Metzora are well-known parashas that deal with Shmiras HaLoshen. We spoke about it at length last year, how the Aveira of Loshen Hara has affected the person dramatically. And just to briefly go into the dramatic effect of Lashon Hara, the Torah here, together, Parshas Tazria and Metzora, describes to us that there are three levels of a plague, or three levels of illness. One level of illness is that Hashem puts a makkah on the clothing. First is on the house. First there is a makkah, there is a discoloration of the bricks, and that's brought to the Kohen's attention, and he comes and examines the house. If he sees this is a sign of a nega, then he'll right away say you have to remove those bricks and you have to set it up a completely new wall. If he's unsure, he'll tell you to close the house, and he'll come back a week later and examine it. If it spreads, it's for sure a sign of a nega, sign of a plague, and then you're told to smash down the wall and to remove those bricks and to replace them with new bricks. And in the meantime, you can't be living there. You'll have to remove all your possessions from the house. And then you will be able to move in if it doesn't appear again. Naturally, if it appears again, there's a real sign of an illness, of a nega, and you have to demolish the house. If that doesn't get your attention, that you've done, if you've done something wrong with your speech, because remember, this is not a physical illness or a physical plague. This is a spiritual plague. It happens in Eretz Yisrael, not here. This is not something that we can call a common occurrence. It's a spiritual plague or a spiritual disease, as you may want to call it. And if it happens in the house and it doesn't wake you up, then it ends up on your clothing. And clothing is a little bit closer to the body, closer to you. Clothing is also something that was very dear to the individual, because clothing was made by hand. Clothing was something that was quite costly. Not like today, if you want to buy a suit, you go to Moore's, one of the popular suit stores, that you just pick a suit and you just size it and you have it tailored by a professional and you can wear it and finish. The way it's massively produced today, we have no concept of how precious clothing was at the time of the Torah, the time of the people who lived in the Midbar. So if clothing had some kind of a discoloration, you would bring it to the Kohen, and the Kohen, if he wasn't sure, he would say, lock it up. If he comes back a week later and he sees that the discoloration spread, then you have to burn it. And that was a real, real uncomfortable experience, because it's something that, you know, you had to make clothing literally thread by thread, weave stitch by stitch, and it would take a long time to make clothing. And if the clothing would end up getting a maka and you would have to burn it, this would be another blow to the person. And all this is Hashem is trying to get your attention. You should be thinking, why am I different than the guy down the street? Why do I have this nega? Why do I have to burn it up? Obviously, I must be doing something wrong. And ultimately, if he doesn't wake up, then the nega goes on the person's body. And where there's a discoloration, starts with one of the three whitenesses, is the one whiteness is white. Is white as the membrane of an egg. The other is the whiteness of white of wool. I believe that is the darkest. Then is the whiteness of a membrane, and then is white as snow. All right. So ace, baheres, and finally the other sign. It's a ace by Heves, and there's another sign, what it's called. I'm trying to remember that. It's called Sapachas. Okay, let me repeat that again. There's three different signs of whiteness: Se'ace, Sapachas, or Baheves. Three different levels of whiteness. One is as white as I said, as white wool. The other one is as white as an eggshell, the membrane of an egg, and then there's white as snow. And then it would be examined. Now, if the client would see that he's unsure, he would lock you up and see if it spreads. Question.
So Miriam didn't have a house when they were in the desert.
Right.
They had a tent or something.
Right, right.
So there were no bricks.
Right.
A sukkah.
They had a sukkah. So the sukkah was...
That's what the whole point is about.
So there was something on the sukkah?
No.
But here's my other point.
Yes.
My other point is, assuming that it's today, if something were to happen to my house and the bricks got discolored, and assuming that
yes.
disease was,
yes.
spiritual disease was
yes.
available,
yes.
would that get my attention if I see something on my house? I mean, gads.
Okay.
Mean, if I'm as somewhat observant.
Okay, so let me go
and
back.
Then if it gets to my skin.
Okay, let's first of all, step by step. You mentioned something about Miriam. First of all, about Miriam.
Okay.
Miriam was an exception to the rule. Miriam was an exception where the Almighty right away wanted to bring attention to Klal Yisrael, that not even was she intended to do anything bad, but there it could have been extrapolated if you thought deeper into what she said.
Well,
so maybe she was criticizing. Yes. Criticizing Moshe for having divorced his wife Tzipora. So again, this is an exception to
the
rule.
No, she didn't. She
okay,
said,
"Well, so
not,
why did they
not together?"
My question is the various various degrees.
Yes.
So the degree, I mean, if something were to happen to my house, assuming
yes.
I had a
yes,
house,
yes.
it would certainly get my attention very quickly,
right.
and
right.
I would try
right.
to correct
exactly.
myself.
Especially
and then if
yeah.
it gets
when
to
it's
my
Hashem,
skin,
though,
yeah.
and then if it gets to my skin,
yeah.
then I know that I'm really in trouble.
Yeah. So what we're trying to say is, in a time when the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were so spiritually high, were at a pinnacle.
So this is after our
own. No. We're talking about this took place. This took place in Eretz Yisrael.
Not in the traveling. Aaron wasn't here in this case.
No.
Diane, wouldn't that first sign be
sufficient?
Sufficient.
Of course. How often
it had to be inspected?
How often do we get signs today, and we are Hashem is begging us, think, why in the world is this happening? And we blame coincidence.
Yes.
We blame this, we blame that. You know, I say this mashal very often, the mashal of a toothache. A toothache is not a very comfortable experience. But when you have a toothache, it's a blessing in disguise. Why is it a blessing in disguise? Because the tooth is talking to you. The tooth is saying, save me. Take me to the dentist and fill the hole so it doesn't get into a situation where there's an abscess and then you have a root canal and then maybe that doesn't help. You have to pull the whole tooth out altogether. You understand? The tooth is talking to you. It's painful. But the painful message is loud enough for the person who has a bissel seichel, or some common sense, to know that we have to do something. We've got to do something. Parshas Tzadzriah Metzora is talking about Hashem giving us messages. This took place in Eretz Yisrael, where they were on the highest possible madrega that we can possibly understand after they entered the land from Kabbalah Satorah. We have no concept of how high and great and lofty the Jewish people lived. We wouldn't have this tzaraz go on today because we're not worthy of such a miracle. But we're worthy of other things. We're worthy of taking note of Maisa Hashkocha, things that happen to us on a daily basis. And we're supposed to think, why did these things happen? I say to boys sometimes in my class, to explain them, you know, someone got hit by a ball. He got hit by a ball. So someone says, Hashem is punishing you. So, Hashem is punishing you. All right, why? What do you say? What do you think? You know why? It was hit by a ball because maybe a week ago, you hit somebody and you didn't apologize. Maybe you are You tripped.
That's what the little boy said?
Huh?
Yes. You said.
I tell him.
No, because the other guy said Hashem's punishing you.
No, I tell him, I'll explain to you. Hashem doesn't punish right away. Hashem gives you a chance to do tshuva. He's Erech HaPayim. He has long to get angry.
When he sees you forgot, that's it.
You know, he says, do you know why? I say to the boy, do you know why that person got hit by the ball? Maybe he hit somebody and didn't apologize. You know why the boy missed the ball and the ball hit him in the mouth and he's bleeding and the son blinded him? Maybe he spoke against his friend and he didn't apologize. You understand? I try to train the class to think of Maisa Hashgacha, that things that happen to us are not coincidental, not accidental, it's no happenstance. It is because there are messages being sent to us. There are messages. There are messages that are being given. So Parsha Sazria Mitzora actually talks about what happens to the person who speaks Lashon Hara. And he's not mindful of the messages to the point where his body gets it, then they have to lock him up. And it's all with Mida connected Mida. Why you lock him up over here? Because he spoke against somebody else. And that person we spoke against ended up having been segregated from his friend because someone spoke against him. No one wants to talk to him. No one wants to be friendly with him. Okay, now it's your turn to be locked up. You understand how it works? Mida connected Mida, measure for measure. So Parshas Hazir Mitzora is teaching us how we today, living in Canada, 2018, have to pick up the message that things happen to us not accidentally. There's a reason. We won't get tzaras like they had in those days, but there are reasons for everything. And we have to live with Maisa Hashgacha. And even though that we're so far from the miraculous ways that Hashem dealt with the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael in the time they entered, but there's one thing that has not left us, and that is Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. The way you deal with others, Hashem will deal with you.
Yeah.
And therefore, when something happens to you, you got to stop and contemplate. You have to contemplate. I forget which mefarish, which explanation I saw that explains why is it so that the first thing, Parsha Sazria, which is the Parsha before, talks about right away getting the blotches, the signs on the body. Why did we not do it in an order? First start with the house, then start with the clothing, and then at the end, Parsha Mitzora. Why not? I'm not doing Parsha Mitzora. This is the second Parsha. Deal with the blotches. So I once saw this beautiful explanation. The Torah wants you to know right away what your Lashon Hara will lead you to. It leads you to being isolated. It leads you to being locked up. It leads you to a disease that could kill you. And therefore, before we deal with the levels that it will actually occur to, we want you to know right away, be careful. For example, you want to tell somebody, you want to know how dangerous it is to get a cold. You want to tell a child how dangerous fire is. You put your hand on the hot pot, you'll burn it immediately. You don't start giving them a story, you know, fire is hot and this is not safe.
You know how it is.
You give right away.
Yeah.
You give them the message right away. And you tell them straight away. Parshas Mitzora, but now I wanted to go into a little bit of the detail, starts with how you become healed. I don't have the time to go through the psukim right now, but it's a very detailed, the tshuva aspect of getting clean is a little bit embarrassing, if not more than a little. And it's a process that you have to go through. You have to,
you
come back to the community. You can't come back to your house. And then you have to have all your hair shaved. and then you have to get you have to then bring a korban.
Yeah, your mark.
And then you're sprinkled.
Physically.
And then you're sprinkled, and then you're gonna have by the eighth day you have to get here cut again, and the whole thing is, and it's, people know what you're doing. People know you are locked up. This is not a secret. It's very embarrassing. But you want to know something? When a person goes through the tshuva process, and it's embarrassing, it's a cleansing process. And the cleansing process is a very healthy and very important process that cleans your neshama. Your neshama became spotted and speckled. So the process is also a little uncomfortable to take off the spots and the speckling.
So is Hashem saying to them, this is what's going to happen to you when you get to Eretz Yisrael?
Yes.
This is for the future, because
yes.
It didn't happen under the clouds of glory, because
no.
The clothing was to perfection.
100%.
But let's, to be inside of Israel.
Okay.
But this is what's going to happen.
But let's talk about today.
And my question is, when did it stop being Tzaras? Like,
well, that I don't. I think by the second base. I don't know the correct.
Because of the base of Mikdash.
I think somewhere by the second base of Mikdash, things got so bad. I'm not 100% sure, but no, somewhere in time they were not worthy of this miracle either. All right. I just want to conclude. This is a very important parasha, just to note that the Almighty is sending us messages today, and we have to pick up the messages so that we can do tshuva. We have to know that our situation is far more perilous, far more dangerous, and
easier rectifiable too.
Wait a moment. It's far more serious than in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Why? If a person today knew he had, God forbid, a cancer, he would go to the doctor, and there's a procedure. The earlier you detect it, you give some radiation or you do chemotherapy, and they shrink it, and then they finally. What the point is? If you know it, you can deal with it. But if you don't know it, then you can't deal with it. And then until it becomes such a problem, then it's unrectifiable. Do you know when you find out? When you go to heaven. And when you go to heaven, that's already over. Then the day is over. And there's no rectifying it in Shemayim. And therefore, why we are so unlucky as the time of the people who had Tzaras, had it first on their homes and then their clothing and then their body, were far more luckier than us, far more fortunate than us, because they were able to get rid of it right away and they dealt with it. Like a person today,
they were worthy of it, of doing it right away.
Because they were worthy of seeing it.
Right.
Today, consider Lashon Hara to the neshama like cancer to the body. If a person is able to know he's done something wrong, let's say he's always biting his tongue, he's bleeding. Let's say he's always has some chapped lips and he can't get rid of it. Let's say he's doing something has to do with his speech, with his mouth. And if a person is conscious of the fact that he's always getting into trouble with his mouth, do you know what? That person who is aware of what's happening is on the road to recovery, because I better stop doing what I'm saying, what I am. Maybe I'm speaking too harshly to my wife. Maybe I'm not speaking appropriately to my boss. Maybe I'm not friendly enough to my neighbor. He'll start thinking. But the average person doesn't think that way. And therefore, we are far less fortunate than the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, we have to be aware. In order for us to get the message from Pashas Azriya Mitzora, the message is that we should start picking up messages. messages in our life, whether it has to do with our speech or whether it has to do with our messages that have to do with our livelihood, messages that have to do with our interpersonal relationship. There are messages, and if we have the messages clear in our mind that this is something going on, then God will help us rectify the problem, and we'll be worthy of living a pure and holy life, the way that people lived in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and we will be worthy today, hopefully, with the coming of Mashiach. B'mehirah b'yameinu, amen.